Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. There are a few forces at play in your life. Have you noticed? It's like you could say it's just two, but it's really just one. But we call it different things in the public domain. So I like to include attachment styles because people know about it, and you can find that in your body. But really, it's emotional repression at the root of it all, just like the science says. So there are unmet needs also. This is something that, like, people who do deep work know about this stuff, but in spirituality, it's like needs. Why are we talking about needs? Well, because you buried them along with your buried emotions, and that's creating your suffering. So to ignore them would be to ignore the root of suffering. But the needs, if you can think of it this way, it's a need for love and safety and approval and all that validation, but really a need for safety and love at the foundation. So this is a need to, like, suffer. That's what that means. So to ignore needs is to really ignore the root of suffering. If I need you to love me for me to be okay, or if I need you to keep me safe by not getting angry, then I'm going to suffer with you. But that's how I'm going to get my needs met, is by being false with you to make sure that I get your love by not stirring up anger, or being sure that I'm safe by disconnecting if you do get angry or something. That's the needs playing itself out, or me people-pleasing so I can get your approval, but therefore I don't really connect with you and you don't really meet me. These forces, they're in the public domain for a reason. I mean, Freud discovered, arguably, is the reason that we have the modern science, because he's the first one to really say, hey, emotional repression produces suffering. And then no theory or practice afterwards disputed that. And then science came along in the last 15 years and confirmed him. So emotional repression is one of those things in the orbit. It's a very foundational thing because, as Freud said, it produces suffering. But also within that orbit of ideas or things are, like, the needs work, the attachment theory, attachment styles, I mean, from attachment theory. But when you get right down to it, not to be too technical, but the attachment styles are needs. Think about it this way. If I have an avoidant attachment style, I need to get away from you. It's that simple. Whether I'm aware of that conditioning in my body is kind of irrelevant, because you can watch somebody who's avoidant. They need to get away from people. You know? I mean, think about it. It's that simple. But the mind will complicate it and call it an avoidant attachment style. That's three long words to say, I got to get away. It's not safe. We're just not that conscious. But in the future, I think our diagnoses, if we'll have any, will be just real simple. He's got a syndrome of needing to get away from people. Yeah, he's got a get away thing. Can you help him with that get away thing? Well, yeah, doctor, but you've got to, you know, it's connected to buried anger. Well, I know he's got to get away from his own anger. But teach him how he, in his body, he's got this condition that says, get away, and I can't get angry. And then we won't call it diagnosis anymore. It'll just be, let him find that. Would you help him with that? And then he won't have to get away, and he'll have authentic, secure attachment. Doctor. Because I think that doctors and therapists will, it's like we won't be able to make distinctions in the future because, well, the line between the physical and the emotional isn't really there. And we know that now from the science, because chronic pain and disease is now has an emotional basis quite often. So go try to find the line between those two things in your direct experience now with KI. People with migraines have said to me, more than one, I don't really know where the physical part of the migraine begins or where the emotional part ends. Yeah, I know what you mean by that. But here's the thing. If you look from within, you might feel sensations that feel physical. But if you explore those, you find emotional conditioning, which says I have to hold anger back, or I'm afraid of this or that. Then you discover for yourself that that line between the physical and emotional is really just conditioning. We're just conditioned to believe that we're physically separate for survival, and emotionally we have to protect ourselves. Of course, there's it's all together. And if you can see the attachment styles as survival, like I have to get away from you or seek reassurance, anxious attachment, because I'm afraid. I need your love. That's the need for pair bonding and love, procreation, all that. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid you're going to leave me. But then, because I'll have to feel sadness or hurt, and I might bury that. Or I have to get away from you because I love you. I need your love, but I can't stand. I can't tolerate conflict because I have buried anger and I don't know it. This is just simple ways of talking about how when we're in relationship, we have basic needs for safety and love that aren't being met. And so we just have to meet them in different ways, even if we suffer. If I can get away from you and meet my need for safety, then it's good. That's all I needed to do. It's like my system says I can't have it with you because you might get angry at me. That's not safe because I can't get angry. Or you might make me feel vulnerable and I can't open to that, so I'm going to get away. You're crying. Or you feel really distant and I need to like pull you towards me. I feel like I need reassurance because I need your love, but I'm afraid. Just needs. See, because the fear itself is like a need for safety. And there's a need for love, a need for safety. And that's just the attachment styles. But you see how the mind confuses things? I have a podcast episode coming out that says attachment theory is avoidant because it avoids buried emotions. The theory does. And yet, the attachment styles are all connected to the buried emotions, as I just said. But you have to do your own work to see that. You have to see that you don't leave somebody's company for no reason. And it's not the reason that your mind says. The mind protects us from knowing the real reasons. The real reason is that we're afraid of being our authentic self. So we leave and we say, oh, no, I just need to go back home and do some things and then go to bed. Something like that. But it's really, no, I'm fucking angry. I've been angry since I was a kid. I haven't been able to get angry at my dad or my mom or anyone since. And I'm here and I would love to like express my true self and sometimes get angry, but I can't. So I'm going to go home and I'm lying to you right now for the reason that I'm going home. Because the real reason is because I'm angry and I can't express it. That's the truth of the unconscious, but we don't know it. It's very active driving things. And we call it attachment style or whatever we call it, but it's really just emotion buried with needs. Keep me safe. Give me love. I'll be false if you'll do that. I'll just do whatever I can to get that. That's how we operate. That's why we're suffering. We don't know who we are. So we can't be what we are. If you don't know what you are, you can't live it. If you have repression, you have to be concerned with staying safe and getting love. You can't be concerned with knowing what you really are. That's not safe. But only when you have repression. In a way, I'm doing this podcast for people who were late in KI, because when people first come to KI, they think it's complicated because their mind complicates things. And then I show them that what KI is, it's like one tool that they'll resist for a long time and they'll complicate it. And then the deeper they go into KI, they'll say, oh shit, this is simple, isn't it? I'll say, yeah. But here's the thing. One thing that KI has had to do is like meet people where they're at. And that's what makes it seem complicated. For example, if somebody comes with an avoidant attachment style, they don't have the skill yet to make it simple like we do here. That's a need for safety. You're getting away from people. So we'll work with them at the level of consciousness that they're at, or IFS, where they're dealing with a lot of concepts. We meet them there as best we can and then say, look, keep this simple. This is about a simple fear in your body, a fear of feeling this emotion, expressing that emotion. That's it in the beginning. And watch how your mind makes it more complicated than that. It'll say, but I believe this, and I believe that, and this. And I'm like, exactly. Because you can't feel and express that emotion that you've buried. Repression creates suffering. And it's so easy to complicate it. It's like when people come here and say, I'm busy, Scott, and I don't know if I can do KI. And I'll say, but how many times have you signed up for something only to say you're busy? Because that's how we stay safe. It's like, if I can have 5 different practices going on, then I don't have to go deep anywhere. Because if I went deep, I might get to the root of my suffering. I can't do that. You see, we're just not that honest. Because we can't be. We can't be. If we were that honest and conscious, we would stop suffering. If we knew that we were creating it by like doing things like that, like saying, oh, this is complicated, and not realizing our mind is trying to divert attention away from repression in 3 trillion ways. And that's overwhelming. But we have to work with something simple. And so in my Jumpstart program, I'll say, okay, we're going to do one thing. And this one thing is so powerful that if you stick with it, you'll just start seeing the changes. But now watch how your mind wants to complicate it and make it into 2 things or 3 or 4. Or now there's a bunch of stories and we got to go look at all those. And I'm like, yeah, but all that diverts attention away from the root of suffering, which is in the body. And all those stories are connected to that. So we need to go in one way down into the body skillfully instead of use all those stories to get to the one thing in the body. And because otherwise, if you don't connect it to the body, to the driver of suffering, the suffering just keeps coming and you don't know how to end that. I mean, if your system could tolerate it when you first came here, I would say, well, okay, you ready? Everything is coming from you need love, but you're afraid of it. And it would be so simple and so discoverable in the body that the system would resist it or often does. We're getting better at that, though. I mean, we have this thing called safety net now, which is amazing because despite our resistance, we start developing a consistent practice here early. People are overcoming sabotage like never before. So if you didn't know about that, we've gotten even better at sabotage with something called a safety net. A safety net is just that. It's like we're going to go into the network of programs that create suffering. We're going to do it safely and easily get there. Not easily where you don't have to feel anything uncomfortable, but easy as in skill. So what's cool now is like in some ways, despite people's resistance to core somatic work, they're developing a consistent practice and seeing the benefit of KI more than ever now. And so therefore people come more quickly to the point where it looks like this. They'll come to me really and say, they don't even have to say it because we both just know it. When you go deep in the work, you don't have to say some things because it's all implied. The understanding is seen in your own experience and your mentor has already seen it. So things like this, like if I were to act it out, it would be like, so Scott, you mean codependency comes from I need love, but I'm afraid of it. See, those are the needs, love and safety. I say, yep, you've seen it because it's so easy to see when you're skillful. That's why I people please. I need their love. I take care of them, but I'm afraid of it. I can't be my authentic self with them. That's why I'm false. Or addiction. It's just, I need their love, but I'm afraid of it too, isn't it, Scott? Yeah. You need love, but you can't connect with people. You're afraid of that being your authentic self, but that need for safety and love gets fulfilled by that addiction. Safe from the buried emotions. Safe from ever having to truly connect with people. It's afraid of it. You're afraid of it. Attachment style, it's, I need love and I'm afraid of it. Yeah. I just went through that already. Well, what is not that? I'll say, you tell me. What is not that simple? Because see, it's when we become conscious of that, it's that simple. But when people start here, they're at the level of consciousness where we just diversify into a bunch of stories and shadows and worldviews and practices. All of that's keeping us very safe and not able to go right down into the body consistently. But here we go right down into the body consistently. We start seeing where all that duality comes from early by getting into the body in the right way. And then we get more quickly to that deeper, much deeper insight and realization where, yeah, this is simple. And you can't find anything that complicates it. And you go into like what we call third phase, which is just you're in your relationships and living your life, and you're just continuing to experience the depths of freedom and love and finding safety and love within. Instead of looking for it outside yourself, it's within your own being. It is what you are. These are things that were inherently within a consciousness. But because we weren't raised in a conscious environment, we couldn't find those needs within. So we went looking for them. You know, I need love, but I also need safety. So I need love, I'm afraid of it. But wait, so what happens? We don't need love. When we discover and embody what we are, when we process buried emotions fully in presence, we don't need love. The need comes because we're afraid of it, because we're afraid of ourselves. We are love. It's a simple spiritual thing, really, that's realized where all these things go away, these attachment styles or whatever is part of that, the suffering goes away because these were unmet needs. You know, that's why it's all relational. It's like, I need to get away from you. I need your love, but I have to stay safe. Or addiction, I need your love, but I can't feel and express what's true, so I'm going to get high. Connect with that. Or depression, it's the same thing. I need people, I need their love, but I can't feel and express what's true. It's safer just to be depressed and disconnected from people. Or anxiety serves the same purpose. I need your love and approval, but I can't really be myself. I'm afraid of it. So I have to feel anxious here and be a false self with you. And even chronic pain or disease. I need your love, but I can't be myself. I have to store my anger in my back and suffer to get your love. And to stay safe from my buried anger, because I need your love and I'm afraid of it. But I'm really afraid of myself. That's what suffering is, afraid of my own authenticity. Afraid to die now, as they say in the spiritual traditions, but you know, it has to be right now, it's presence. And right now we have buried emotions that they're doing anything they can, that conditioning, other than die now. It's creating falseness in so many different ways. Well, once we get to the root of it, though, this simple programming that I'm talking about, then we have a way. A lot of my work is just like being patient with someone who comes with like a lot of different things and then a lot of different stories and things, and I'm trying to simplify it, and they'll say, God, this is complicated. And I'll like, no, it's not really, but how can I meet you here? Because if you'll do the consistent practice simply each day, you'll see how simple it is. But you're at that level of consciousness that just needs to really think in a complicated way about things. Even when I'm on a podcast, if you come and do the practice, it's like, okay, I'll take you about 10 minutes. Now you learn it, do it. That's it. Now keep doing it. I'm going to mentor you to make sure you keep doing it. That's it. And then you're going to have insights. And I might say some of the things I say here or even send you a podcast episode, but really it's all going to be saying, well, no, just go back to practice, because see how much freedom you get? Yeah, just notice how the seeking goes away, because it's not about the future. Right. So just, and that's all you need is your own practice. That would be the point of all of this, really. The stuff that I talk about. It's not to complicate it. But see, a certain state of consciousness will listen to this and think, this is complicated. Well, right, because how else would you stay safe from buried emotion? Everybody has to have some trauma responses to protect them. And it's like either I don't like him or I feel ashamed or triggered or I just don't connect with this or this is confusing, this is complicated, I'm fogging out. What did he say? I listen, but I don't listen. It's in the background. But the point is, if you really wanted to hear this and go do the practice, you would see the simplicity of it, truthfully. Even if you struggled in the beginning to, we've made it really simple. And so we've done our part, we hope, in the relationship. We've heard you say that it's complicated, but we made it even simpler. But what we discovered in making it simpler, that it was never about being complicated. It was about the trauma response that kind of gets busy and makes things complicated and thinks a lot, ruminating. Because ruminating is only when it's self-protective. Thinking is not the problem. It's thinking that is complicating things. But that has a purpose. There's a purpose in that. I'll hit something or will be about to hit something really big in a session and someone will say, hey, I was going to tell you about something, Scott, and then they'll go on for about 5 minutes. And I might interrupt them if I think, well, this is not cohesive. Now they're just trying to find something and then something else and then something else. If it's cohesive, it's like, well, I want to hear what they're saying. They're telling me something. But, you know, after a while, you see, it's not really about the content. It's about the energy that we have around things. It's not about the thoughts. It's about our resistance. It's all body, really, that we have to trust. But how can we do that when we have repression? So we have to learn skills, and they have to be simple. I've learned, and they are. And even if they feel complicated, they don't anymore. Nobody says that anymore. This is an old thing. Because the work has developed into something that was like, you know, we were just learning. We were working in the unconscious, and we were naming things and seeing that there were definitely things there that we all saw that helped us, or that helped me create it by listening to people. But over time, it's like you see how simple this is, and you do your own work, and you realize, oh, it's I need their love, but I'm afraid of it. In different forms, that's always what it is. Unmet needs for love and safety. But then you see, well, that all comes from repression. I'm holding back this emotion. I'm afraid. And that's the need for safety. I'm afraid. I can't find safety within. And that's the need for love. I can't find love within. I have to go find it somewhere. I'll just sit with this for a moment. What if whatever you were looking for, whether you call it safety and love, that's what it is. What if you really found that within? Do you see how it's hard to imagine? Because first of all, if you're not aware of those needs and how they're playing out in life and even becoming a demand on other people, actually, unconscious, unspoken needs become demands on others. It doesn't mean that you're aware of that, how that works. And how could you then be aware of a life without it? Because you have suffering because you're not aware of your unmet needs and buried emotions. So you'd have to discover those needs with the buried emotions and then do the work and experience the change. But at least you can imagine that if you have suffering now, that if you're creating it, it can go away. You may not know how, and this is not a promise, because if you don't have a simple, consistent practice, and many of you will need a mentor, then it can't happen, because, well, that would just be trying to get your love, wouldn't it? By telling you things that aren't true. I need your love, but I'm afraid to be real. Same thing. No, you've got to feel things that are uncomfortable, and you have to pay me for my time if I spend time with you, for me to do it. But if you can see what we're doing, it's so simple, really. And what we do here as mentors is just take people's resistance and shut down and sabotage, avoidance and complex ways of seeing themselves and ruminating about their experience, which creates more anxiety. We just keep saying, well, go back to the simple practice, that safety net, the thing that works. And just notice that when transformation happens at the somatic level, there's nothing to understand. There's increasingly less and less to understand about life and more living to do and loving it. And that's what you want to trust. You don't want to trust even these podcasts. I keep them to 30 minutes so that they will not create too much rumination, but I do them every day so that this message counterbalances any of those messages out there that distract us from unmet needs and buried emotions that are driving things. If you can hear it regularly, something can change in your experience. Transformation can't happen by hearing this, I don't think, for anyone, because you can't just hear a podcast and become conscious of something totally buried. But you can become aware of how that's there. So I guess the thing that I would invite you to do, if you haven't started KI, is I want you to notice how life has a lot of different forms of suffering. As what I say is, like, we live in like the tip of the iceberg. We see a lot of different things: depression, anxiety, relationship issues, stress, anything you can imagine or experience, there it is. But we're not aware of what drives it below the water of the iceberg. We're not aware of the repression. So we wouldn't be aware that, for example, various things that happen at the tip or in our life are connected to, well, I need love, but I'm afraid of it. It's love and safety. You can't, because it's unconscious. But you can. Here's what you can do. You can just notice how suffering continues. And I swear you can trust that to point you that there's a reason for it. And then you can at least say, what if the reason is love and safety, but I just don't know it? And if you start to think about that, I want you to go back to my podcast called The Avoidance Guide to Authentic Spirituality. Go back and just search for it. And I think it was in the fall of 2024. Hold on a second. It's definitely in 2024. And the reason that's helpful is that it'll teach you how to do two things. One is the utility journal. All that is a journal where you're actually journaling needs. We call them utilities in that podcast. But what it means is, like, if you have some suffering that comes up in the day and you want to go beyond just kind of a basic understanding of this, and say you write down on your journal, I feel just unworthy. Just write down what's true. Keep it simple. And then hold that in your awareness. Close your eyes. That feeling and that thought, I'm unworthy. But go into your body and listen as you say this. What need is met by believing I'm unworthy? Now, in that podcast, I say, what do I get out of believing it? It's the same thing. But you can say it this way too. What need is met by believing I'm unworthy? And then write down the first thing that comes up. But generally, if you keep asking, you'll get one word emotional needs. Like, oh, well, love, approval, safety, validation, comfort. I feel heard. But it's basically, you'll see as you get more skillful, it's love and safety. As long as you feel safe and loved. But how can you feel safe and loved with suffering? Like, I'm unworthy. And that's where it gets confusing for people. That's where they think it's complicated, but they're not conscious enough is what it is until they do the process. So that podcast or the utility journal should lead you into KI repression inquiry. If it doesn't, you won't make the connection here. But basically, we believe we're unworthy and things like that because we stay safe from the buried emotions. By believing that, it's safer to believe I'm unworthy than to get angry at you for a real hurt that I have. And I can get love that way, because then I won't be my authentic self. See, I need your love, but I'm afraid of being that authentic self. So I'm just going to be unworthy and suffer. But then it's like I get my needs met that way. I feel safe and I get love, but it's painful. And then I seek relief. But if you don't process the buried emotions with those unmet needs, you just get more suffering, even if you get relief. And that's the pleasure pain cycle that I promised that I would start including in the work. And that's a good example of it right there is, you know, even if you become interested in this, if you don't process, make conscious the conditioning behind it, I need and love and I'm afraid of it, you can't end the suffering, because it's the buried emotions creating the suffering. They create more suffering because our system says, oh, well, if I suffer, I'll get relief. He's found a way to feel better. He's got a good spiritual practice and just temporary relief. Let's suffer some more. That's how it works. Pleasure, it's not just that when we have pain, we seek pleasure. It's that when we find the pleasure, our system produces more pain, more suffering from buried emotions. Look up Anna Lemke, Dopamine Nation. She explains it well. So what we want to do is process buried emotions in present awareness, like Bessel van der Kolk says, because that's that key to seeing that, well, our suffering comes from, our need for love and safety comes from the buried emotions. So we're going to suffer as long as we have unmet needs and buried emotions. And that suffering is going to come back. Even when we process buried emotions, it's going to keep coming back because it's there to protect us until we have this consistent practice where the suffering doesn't have to come back because it no longer keeps us safe. We can feel and express the hurt or the anger that was buried. We don't need to believe this, like I'm unworthy, or we don't need to procrastinate. We have all of our life force online. We don't need to be depressed or have chronic pain because we can be authentic in our lives. That all those things that were coming from repression don't have to be there when we discover our authenticity. And when we discover our authenticity, we don't need their love, nor are we afraid of it. We are love. We're no longer afraid of that. Why wouldn't we want to share that with others, if that's the realization? And that's a connection. Call it what you want, but it's not trauma anymore. If you're interested in working, well, I have this March Jumpstart that I do. Well, I do it every month. So next month is March Jumpstart, where I teach a group of people these tools in a group setting, and I nurture and mentor them for one group, and then I let them go. So if you're not interested in a group short-term jumpstart, then preferably I would like one-on-one intensive 90-day program. But let's talk first. So the link will take you either to signing up for Jumpstart or coming to talk to me for free. If you scroll down, you'll see that about my one-on-one 90-day intensive program. If you're just listening and you want to be much more passive about things, then just come back to my podcast. Please share, follow, like. When you are on the social media, if you can think of a topic that you're reading about and you're like, I like Scott's view of this, then share the link in the comments. Say, listen to what Scott says about narcissism. That would be a great way to pay back if you've enjoyed these podcasts, is just to share them with different people. Not just on your page, but you might be wanting to comment and say, hey, check this perspective out. But more than that, I just want to invite people to keep listening because, oh, I keep wanting to mention this and I almost didn't. Keep listening because I'm going to give away free stuff. It's not like a gift like Oprah, look under your chair, but it's free inquiry. Dimensions of practice are going to be given away for free. Things that you have to pay for, and sometimes like a whole big retreat amount, we're just going to give it to you. You're going to save thousands of dollars if you want to. And then that's to help you prepare for the deeper work, which you do pay for here. That's the mentorship with repression inquiry. But we developed, before we developed work on emotional repression. I've had total of 17 years of development of these other tools that lead to that. And I'm telling you, don't devalue them just because they're free. These are things that are sometimes more powerful than the tools out there in the world. But see, all of these things, these free tools and a lot of those things out there, they do not get to the conditioning of I need love, but I'm afraid of it. They don't get to unmet needs and buried emotions. That's why we're giving them away for free. We think that if you bypass here, it's better to do that here, where you get educated about the bypass and a way out of it, than out there where you don't maybe know about it. So really giving you dimensions of practice before repression inquiry help us. It's not just for you. It's that it makes our job of showing people how we avoid easier if you've stayed with us for a while and even gotten to the place where, even if it took you a while, you finally did work on the buried emotions where the real freedom is. Thank you for listening.